Take your Bible, and if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. The children may be dismissed at this time to children's church. And if you would take your Bible, and when you found Luke chapter 1, if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin in verse 26. We've got a lot of reading of the Word this morning, but we need the reading of the Word. We need to hear the Word because the Scripture says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My words don't mean a thing. It's only what God says that matters. And it's only as I speak and we all speak in honor and according to His Word. So let's read together, starting verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaiden or maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for how it teaches us, instructs us, and guides us. And I pray that this morning that your word would go forth in power, that you, by your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that conceived the Son of God in the womb of Mary, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would also teach us and instruct us. Give me the words to say. Give us the ears to hear. And quicken us for your glory. May we draw closer to you this morning and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the joy of Christmas. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm glad you don't have any stones out there because you're going to be tempted to throw stones at me at first. I'm going to tell you right off the bat that the greatest joy is found in receiving. The greatest joy is found in receiving. You've heard that saying, and it's from the Bible, and it's true. It's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. But, and that's absolutely true, in order for that to be true, we must first receive ourselves. We must first receive. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the joy of Christmas. It's that time of year where we get busy in finding presents, finding gifts, finding ways to give to others. And we all hopefully know the joy of seeing, you know, you've put some thought and intent and planning into giving something to somebody, and you're ready to see them unwrap it, and the joy and expression on their face, hopefully it's something they wanted. That when they unwrap it and they're thankful and grateful. And we've also seen when kids just get their toys and it seems like they open it up and they forget about it the next minute, right? We've been children ourselves and know that. Yesterday, we had a little family get-together, and as part of it is an extended family celebration. We do this gift exchange where we all bring one gift. It's either a man's gift. If you're a man, you bring a man's gift. If you are a woman, you bring a woman's gift, and we all take turns, draw numbers, and we go up and take a gift from the table, and we open it up, having no idea. It's not something you requested. Sometimes it's not something you wanted. And the shock and surprise of what it is, and then the next person gets to choose, you know, do I want to steal a gift from that person, or I want to go to the table and take my chances? And they have rules for how, you know, it's always real fun seeing what is given. Yesterday, as an aside, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but yesterday, as an aside, I think the gift that was the most unique was a toy shotgun, you know, the kind that you rack back and it makes noise, that also doubles as a plunger. So it had a plunger on the end of it. And you could kind of tell they had it all wrapped up. You know, it looked like, well, that's either a fishing pole or a shotgun. And you're like, hey, it's a toy. Whoa. I'm not sure how well that will work, but it was definitely a unique gift. Not always is the gift given one that you want. But in this case, the gift given is one that was both needed and wanted, and was the greatest gift, as was sung earlier, the greatest story ever told. It was the greatest gift ever given. The greatest joy is found in receiving. It's found in receiving the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look with me at this account because it's important. Now, we're familiar with it. We're familiar with what the Bible says about how Jesus came to be born. We're familiar with the fact that he was born of a virgin. But I want us to see this morning a few things in Mary's response to the news that have meaning for us today, that have meaning for you, and have meaning for me. A few things that as we look at it in Mary's response, we begin to realize that the same response is necessary if we're going to receive God's gift, if we're going to receive joy ourselves. So look with me again at the text. The Bible says, verse 26, that Gabriel was sent, in verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And she's wondering at this point, hey, what kind of greeting is this? She's shocked. She's surprised. This is not something that she was expecting. This was not something that she was looking for. In that day and age, she was probably planning for about a year her marriage to Joseph. She was betrothed to him. They already probably had a ceremony for that. And it was committed to him. It was similar to our engagement, but a little bit stronger concept. Joseph, traditionally, what would have happened, Joseph would have gone away. He would have been preparing a house for them to live in, a place in his father's property, and Mary was waiting, but she was getting herself ready to become a wife and all the preparations that were taking place along with that. And now, something interrupts it and brings her a news that she is a recipient of God's grace. That she's a recipient of God's grace. The angel's message twice is he says, "You are highly favored." That's in verse 28. Again, he says in verse 30, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." What he's telling her is this: you found it. This was not something she was looking for. She's come upon it. Or rather, it's come upon her. God's favor has come upon her. And that word there is the same word for grace. It's God's unmerited favor. It's God's acting on our behalf. Not when we deserved it, not when we earned it, but because of his goodness. And so what he's doing is he's saying, the angel is declaring to her, "You have received God's grace. It's here, it's available," and she's wondering, what does that mean? You say, well, what does that mean for us today? What that means for us today is the same thing it meant for Mary back then. She was a recipient of God's grace. She had found favor in God's eyes. In the same way, God sent a messenger and had him declare that to her. So now today, we declare to you that you are a recipient of God's grace. Just as Jesus Christ was being sent to Mary, so Jesus Christ has been sent for you. He has been sent for you, and you, his grace is available to you if you receive it. She was one that we tend to think of her as, you know, some people try to magnify Mary and make her out to be this perfect person. She wasn't perfect. She was just favored. She was just graced. She just received what God had to offer. And the same is true for you and I. We are receivers of what God gives. And so he declares his grace to her. Now, this is important. It's important for two reasons. It's important, number one, to recognize that she is a virgin. And in this day and age, and probably all throughout history, we could say people have doubted that. They question it, and they question it even today. But I'm here, and I will declare to you plainly that when the Bible says she's a virgin, that means that she never knew a man. What was done in her was miraculous. What was done in her was only by God. And the reason is this. The angel said his name is to be called Jesus. That means Savior. He had to come into the world in a virgin. He had to be born of a virgin for two reasons. Number one, it was prophesied way back in Isaiah. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. It was a sign that God had given. But number two, it had to be done because that's the only way that we could be saved. The Bible says in Psalm 3, verse 8, that salvation is only by the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation doesn't belong to us. See, think with me for just a moment. Let's say that all the skeptics are right. Let's say that Jesus was just a man that came into the world the way every other man has always come into the world. That was conceived in the same manner that everybody else was. That what that would mean is that he was a man that became God. And that would be heresy. That would be an outright lie. That would be the lie that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden because Satan in the Garden of Eden says to Adam and Eve, listen, if you take of the fruit, if you do what you want to do, then you'll become like God. It would totally ruin the story. It would say that we could raise ourselves up. We could achieve salvation ourselves. But no. The account from Scripture is that the Lord was born of a virgin. Why? Because the Word, God, was made flesh. God became a man, not man becoming a God. God became a man. He came down to us. We could not save ourselves. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He had to come to us. He had to bring us His grace. You and I cannot save ourselves. We must receive salvation. We must receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice also the applier of salvation in this passage. God sought her out. She wasn't seeking God. The scripture doesn't say she was God-fearing. She knew the scriptures, but she was not seeking for God to make her the chosen vessel by which the Lord Jesus Christ would enter the world. She was just going about her business. When God comes to her and says, through the angel Gabriel, you found favor. And she says, how can this be? How can I have a child? I don't know a man. I've never been with a man physically. And the angel spells it out for her in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he says, Elizabeth also is having a child in her old age, which was impossible according to man, but with God nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. There's an analogy here between what happened in Mary and what happens with you and I in salvation. We did not seek after God. God sought after us. God came to us and offered himself as salvation. Just as God sent his messenger to Mary to declare the good news of salvation to her, so God comes to you and I. And by the Holy Spirit, just as the Holy Spirit did that miraculous work in Mary, bringing about the conception of the Lord, so the Holy Spirit draws nearer to your heart and my heart and begins to say and invite us to salvation. He begins to draw us and begins to bear witness in our heart that God's grace is there, and that the Lord is the Savior, and that if we will receive him, we can be saved. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings about and applies salvation. Why? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. The story of the virgin birth is a true account. It's accurate in every detail. And it's also a picture of what happens to you and I when we receive the Lord. God drew near to Mary and gave her offered her the gift of salvation, just as he draws near to you and to me and says, you can be saved. She was, in a very real sense, carrying the Lord Jesus Christ physically in her womb. He draws near to you and I and says, you may carry him within. You may have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. You may have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. You may receive the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritual sense, as Savior. The joy of Christmas comes through receiving God's grace. But secondly, the joy of Christmas comes only when we submit to God's will. Look at Mary's response. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. This is verse 38. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That's a very simple response. It's a very humble response, but there's so much in that response that we miss if we just read right over it. Here's Mary, a young girl, all excited about one day soon Joseph's going to come and we're going to be married. And I'm going to go live with Joseph, and suddenly her plans are forever interrupted. Her plans are forever changed by this appearance of an angel. Here's Mary, who's never been with a man by her own admission, but now, as you begin to think about it, what are she and what's running through her mind, what might her neighbors say? What might her parents say when she comes to them and says, I'm pregnant? But it's a miracle. It's not what you think. It's a miracle. It's the Savior. It's what was prophesied. An angel came to me. What are they going to say? We read it back then, and we know the story, and we know what happens to Jesus. But what was going on in Mary's heart in that moment? And as she begins to think about this, she has a decision to make. Am I willing to interrupt my plans and my life and my schedule and my identity and what people think of me in order to receive the Savior? Am I willing to be changed by the Savior? Am I willing for my life to be completely different? And people today have the same question that Mary had. People today have to face the same reality that when Jesus calls us, that means something. For her, it meant possible ridicule, possible rejection by her family. And for people, thankfully not so much here in America, but in some cases even here in America, but certainly in other places all around the world, receiving Christ as Savior means rejection by their family. It means scorn and possible even death. But more to the point today, receiving Christ for Mary, it meant a complete change of her plans. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever a woman gets married today, there's a lot of planning that goes on. I got to see that firsthand And it was fun. I'm glad the planning stage is over. I'm glad that we're married. Because it was a process. All the invitations, all the stuff, and you know, Starla wants to know what I think on all of it, and I'm trying to be a good fiance and have my input too. And there were some rough points in there, yeah. But you know what? For Mary, she's going through all this planning, and suddenly it's all interrupted. It's all changed. And there's a lot of people when they hear the gospel preached and they say, what's that going to mean for my life? Catch that? My life. Just like Mary, she could have said, what is being the mother of the Son of God going to mean for my life? All my plans are now going to change. I'm going to be known as somebody different. She could have said, Gabriel, are you sure you didn't mean Margaret down the road? maybe she could have said, Gabriel, this sounds wonderful, and this is something, but I'm really busy right now. Can we do this later? Can we receive the Son later? Today's just too busy. But that's the same response that many people give to the gospel, isn't it? Can we do this later? Can we put it off? This will mess up my plans and for my life at this moment. And I'm afraid that receiving you, Lord Jesus, is going to ruin my fun and ruin my plans. But that's not Mary's response. And if we're going to have true joy, that cannot be our response either. Mary's response is a response of humble submission to God's plan. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. Be it done to me according to your word. And if you and I are, first of all, going to be saved, and secondly, after we're saved, if we're going to have joy, if we're going to experience God's joy and grace in our life, we must be willing to submit to God's plan. We must be willing to submit to God's plan for salvation. We can't say, Lord, not at this time. Let me do it later. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. Today is the day for salvation. You can't say that, Lord, I don't want to be bothered by this. I don't want to hear it. You will never receive God's joy. You will never receive God's grace if you say that. In the same way, as a believer, we can get really busy and caught up in a lot of things, can't we? This coming week, I'm sure for all of us in different ways, is going to be really busy. We've got family to meet. We've got people to visit. We've got gifts to make. We've got things to wrap. And if we're not careful, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ will slip away in the busyness of our lives. If we're not careful, we can say, even as believers, to the Lord, Lord, I know you want me just to take some time and sit down and just be with you for a moment, but I'm too busy, Lord. We can be like Martha and say, Lord, I'm serving you in this moment. Can't you see that I love you? When what he's calling out to us is to sit down at his feet and to hear from him. And we'll miss out. Even as believers, it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. It has something to do with your joy and your fellowship, though. You'll miss out on God's blessing if during this week we get all busy and excited about different things and we say, Lord, I'll spend time with you later. Would you come back later, Lord? And he says, no, I'm here drawing near to you now. If you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. If you are saved, today is the day to draw near and to know the joy that comes only through fellowship with the Lord. Well, Mary submitted, and she received God's greatest gift, his joy that he shed abroad in her heart. I want to read one more passage here in Luke. She goes down in the next few verses to visit Elizabeth. and rejoice with her. And you know the story when she comes in the room. Elizabeth at this moment is 6 months pregnant, and she comes in the room, and Elizabeth says, "Oh, what a blessing that the mother of my Lord should come and see me." The moment you walked in the room, the baby leaped for joy. The baby and Elizabeth leaped for joy. John the Baptist leaped for joy because Jesus' presence entered. And then she says something. Look in verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." You want blessing? You want joy this Christmas season? This verse is just as much for you as it is for Mary. She said to Mary, "Blessed is the one who believed." She believed God's word. Mary didn't reject God's word. Mary said, "Yes, I will willingly receive this change in my life. I will willingly receive the Savior of the world, and I will willingly bear him." And the Bible says that she was blessed, happy. And indeed, we see that next, because Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It makes him great because he's looked down on my humble estate. My spirit rejoices. It exalts in God, my Savior. He's regarded my lowly estate, and he's lifted me up. And she's talking all about how great God is, that he would do this thing for her. She has great joy now because she's received the Lord Jesus into her womb in a physical sense. You too. You and I both can have great joy when we receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, and then when we walk with him in fellowship. She had joy for three reasons. She had joy because she received God's grace. God's grace is made available to all. The Bible says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. God's grace is available to you today, right now. Secondly, she had grace. She had joy because she submitted to God's will. And finally, she had joy because she believed God's word. She believed God's word. When the angel Gabriel told her what was going to happen, she believed it. And you and I too, when we believe God's word and we take him at his word and we say, "God said it, I'm going to stand upon it. I'm going to build my life upon it. I'm going to trust it," can have joy. Now, Mary had sorrow in the years to come. In fact, in a few months, a man would prophesy and say, "There's going to be a sword that will pierce your own heart too, Mary." She had sorrow that day when she stood at the foot of the cross. And there at the foot of the cross, she saw her son, God's son, the Savior of the world, but the one that she bore, ripped to shreds and crucified on her behalf. She had great sorrow that day. Joy sometimes comes with sorrow, but sorrow God will take and turn into joy. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He endured the sorrow. He went through the sorrow for your sake and for my sake so that you and I might have joy. This Christmas season, this Christmas, this week, this day, do you want joy in your life? If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that you can have joy that outlasts sorrow. You see, for Mary, that sorrow lasted but 3 days. And then, gloriously on the third day, she saw her son risen from the dead, not as just her son, but as her Savior, her Redeemer. And that's what she calls him here. "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." She recognizes that she needs Jesus just as much as you and I. And she rejoiced when she sees her Savior standing. Her sorrow was turned to joy. Your sorrow today may be turned to joy as well. will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you stand with me? Becky's going to come play. But this morning, do you have joy? Do you have the joy that will never fade away? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Mary could have rejected Jesus. She could have said some other time, but she didn't. She said, I will humbly receive him. Have you humbly received the Lord Jesus Christ?